You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto. He's normally Robbie Earle, but not today. We have US Soccer Hall of Famer Tim Howard to have us on the show today. Thanks for coming in, Tim. But here are today's topics. Disappointment surrounds Liverpool and Manchester United as the two rivals play out a 0-0 stalemate at Anfield. Man City drop even more points in the league as they let a two-goal lead slip at home in a 2-2 draw with Crystal Palace. Arsenal return top of the table after a 2-0 win at home to Brighton. Tottenham secure their second win on the bounce after a 2-0 Friday night victory at Nottingham Forest. That's what we have coming up in today's episode. Okay, Tim, thanks for stepping in for Mr. Earle. And always great to have you in on the podcast.
Yeah, good to be here. I always enjoy my time. Thanks for the introduction. It has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, there you go. That must sound good. So the big game this weekend, Tim, of course, was one of your former clubs, Manchester United, travelling to Anfield, finished 0-0. A lot of expectation, a lot of talk from people like us that it was going to be a very difficult, maybe embarrassing day for Manchester United. But it wasn't, Tim. Finished 0-0. What was the biggest reason it finished 0-0, do you think?
Well, this one surprised me, Musty, because normally at certain moments you can think big games cancel, teams will cancel each other out. I didn't see that happening today. I really didn't. I thought 100% sure United were going to lose because there were injuries and suspensions and they weren't playing well and there were no partnerships. And obviously Liverpool were going really well at the top of the table. So I thought today's a day where they're definitely going to turn United over. And look, ultimately, and we talked about this on the show, United played really, really, really well for what they were.
For what they were.
They were a shell of themselves. I think credit goes to Ten Hag for saying, look, I'm going to start Marcus Rashford on the bench. I'm going to go with Garnacho and Antony. And by the way, I've said before, as the Man United manager, I don't really want my wingers coming back to help today. They need to come back. They need to help. They need to do the defensive work. Mm-hmm. And they defended stoutly and resolutely, and they got a result. And by the way, going into the game, 0-0 result, really good for them, and that's what they got.
Yeah, it's interesting, like Manchester United, because you can look at it as if, like, well, Man United usually go there to try and win. It doesn't feel good that they've got to go there. And I don't think it was park the bus type of situation, but it was definitely a very compact, very defensive side of things, which I thought was pretty good. I mean, I thought special mentions got to go to Rafael Varane. Tim, I thought, was in the way many, many times. Johnny Evans seemed to do a very good job as well. I thought Amrabat, who's had quite a bit of stick, really, for not having that much of an impact at the football club, I thought he was in good spots many times. I thought Diogo Dalo, actually, until the end, maybe we'll chat about that in a second, two yellow cards, but I thought he played well as well. So is this a step in the right direction, or is it, well, that's minimum, really, for Man United?
Yeah. I think it's a step, Musty. I don't know which direction it is. I don't know if they have a direction currently. I just don't. The players that you mentioned, you know, you talk about Johnny Evans and Dalo, Amrabat. Obviously, Varane, in his day, has been world-class. Yeah. But they were asked to battle today. They were asked to fight.
They're almost more happier to do that.
Yeah, and to stay compact and not to open themselves up. And they did it valiantly. Credit to them. But, like, it's not as if they didn't have many match winners on the field. They didn't have enough footballers to take the ball and be brave and drive the team forward like a Bruno. So today looked exactly the way it needed to look for them to get a result.
I think Manchester United fans will be happy with that. Yeah. I mean, there's a few injuries. We know Bruno being out as well, and different players that are missing. Just on that, I think we both felt the same thing here. Diogo Dalo
did a brilliant bit of defending, mm-hmm. Tim, late in the game, yep. right near the main camera. And he's fired up. He's had a really good game. They're trying to hang on for a point or even more. And he gets a bad decision. Mm-hmm. He throws his arm once towards the yep. referee, Mike Oliver, shows him the yellow. Well, I think he flashes his arm, he gets the yellow card. Then he walks a bit further, then he flashes it again.
Yeah.
No, he flashes his arm because of the decision.
Yep.
Then he sees a yellow card and flashes his arm again
yeah.
and gets another yellow card yeah. for red. I mean, have we gone from the days of the referee saying, oh, hang on a minute, mm-hmm. Yogo, mm-hmm. just calm mm-hmm. down, we're nearly at the end of the game. Is there any tolerance now for a common sense approach?
I think the problem, and the referee was who?
Michael Oliver,
yeah. Michael Oliver. He's one of the, he reffed me in the Premier League. Yeah. He's probably
he's
the best.
Good. Yeah.
I like him. And the common sense approach, you know, I think in those moments, the emotion gets the better of all human beings. And I think the referee, it's at the end of the game, doesn't really matter, right? It'll matter moving forward.
Yeah, he's got a suspension.
But I just want to see referees, because I've been stupid at times on the pitch. I just want referees to say, he's been petulant, he's thrown his arms up, book him. He does the same exact thing again. You know what? Say, oi, come here.
Yeah, exactly.
Come here.
Yeah.
I've had enough. I'm not gonna send you off, but if I can't see anymore, it takes 2 seconds. It takes 2 seconds to do that. Like, yeah, I know they're trying to stamp down on
yeah,
all of this stuff, and maybe that's where it came from, but there's a common sense approach that you'd like to see.
Yeah. Swinging it back to Liverpool, Tim, and I don't know whether we differ on this or not. I obviously differ from what Jurgen Klopp said afterwards, mm. because he said it was a really good performance. On another day, one of those chances goes in. Sure. It's a comfortable, thorough victory. Mm. Given where they are in their development and what the situation Man United and the players out, etc., I was disappointed, I've got to be honest with you. And I expected a lot more with their football, with the creativity, with Luis Diaz and Mo Salah. First half, I thought they'd got a bit starved of the ball. The football from Liverpool out through the back wasn't great. The midfield that we've talked about so much about being kind of bright and Szoboszlai and really, really good, and Gravenberch getting runs of games now, and Endo that struggled last weekend but started again. Am I being a bit harsh there, Tim? Like, or should we have expected more from Liverpool that can go top of the table?
Yeah, so rather than getting to specifics, I think on the day they got bogged down, where Liverpool like to be on the front foot, press, counterattack, right? And then they go into your end and they counter press you again. So they're all about that. But United said, we're not doing that. We're gonna counterattack, and then we're gonna get back into shape. And they were tough to break down, and I think they were wasteful with the ball. I mean, we saw Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's brilliant, and his passes are inch perfect.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of those balls today go astray from him, which is unusual. But I think with Liverpool, and it speaks to the bigger season that they're having, they're at the top of the table as of like this past week. And none of us said, oh, what? We were actually surprised that they're there, because none of us think that they've hit their stride yet. They haven't been perfect yet. Yeah. And somehow they found a way through some good performances to get to the top of the table. But they haven't really hit their gear where you think every single game is going to be like this.
Mm. No, I agree. I agree. And I think, you know, we'll get to the other teams and title chasers. That's two games now I've had a really close look, because sometimes when we do our shows, games going on at the same time. You focus on one, you kind of got the other one out of the corner of your eye. But the last two weekends, I've had a really good look at Liverpool, and I know they won last weekend, but I thought they were playing a bit better than this, and the football's a little bit free-flowing.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're better, Tim. You know, from last year, they had a bad run of conceding, and the right-back position was an issue. That seems to be, for the most part, a lot better, which is good news.
Yeah, definitely. 15 goals conceded, I believe. I mean, tied for best in the league. That's a starting point for, you know, if you can not concede goals and be really good at your pressing and getting forward, and you have threats in the forward areas. I mean, that's a recipe for success. Mm-hmm. So they're well on their way. It's just they haven't quite brought it all together to be like, you know, when we look at Manchester City and the best performances, they're bringing that every week, and you're shocked when they don't. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're not quite there yet with Liverpool.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's just there's a bit of a anticlimax, mate. It was on big NBC. Mm-hmm. We expected a big game with lots of goals. It's just a little bit of frustration from everybody around. Okay, let's move on to another game. And, Manchester City. Wow. Mm. Now we're talking. So Man City 2, Crystal Palace 2. Michael Issa scores a penalty in stoppage time to make it 2-2. Jean-Philippe Mateta scored in the 76th minute. Rico Lewis scores and Jack Grealish scores for Manchester City. Okay, so my kind of take right now on Man City is Yeah, they're missing a couple of players. Erling Haaland, of course, is being out at the moment. Kevin De Bruyne has been a long-term guy, and Jamie Doku as well. Some of the football looks really, really good, and for the most part, they've scored plenty of goals. Defensively, Tim, I'd probably rather focus the conversation. Yeah. And I remember saying the last couple of years, Robbie, we've had, of course, doing this, and I said, wow, I think City, you know, the Champions League last year, they brought in Guardiola, they've got, you know, Kanji's emergence and Ruben, everybody coming fit, Stones, I'm like, Walker, goalkeeper, they're such a stronger defensive team over the last couple of years. What's happening? What's happening defensively? Why are they conceding so many goals?
Well, I think that when you look at City, they've gotten a bit bored, and that's probably disrespectful because, you know, they are one of the greatest teams the Premier League has ever seen. But when we look at their drop, the amount of points that they've dropped, that's not synonymous with City. No. City get the goal, then they dominate possession, they dictate the tempo, then they get another goal, and they just put you to sleep. They just they don't even allow you back in the game. And what they've done recently with all these drop points is they've allowed teams back in the game, and it's almost been like irresponsible defending from world-class defenders, from world-class players. My opinion is, and I said this to you on the show yesterday, if we're seeing it, the best manager in the world is seeing it too. His backroom staff is seeing it. They're on the plane. They're in the hotel. They're in the manager's office. They're going to figure this out. This trend will not continue all season because, as you said, he has so many world-class defenders. At a certain point, he may just say, hey, the ones who can do the business are going to stay in the team. Forget this chopping and changing. Because Pep has always shown a desire and patterns of he's going to get it right. There's not many things that are broken, but when they're broken, he fixes them. And so I think this is that's going to be the case defensively. But you're right. It's been so irresponsible, the defending.
I mean, I kind of called it unprofessional.
Yeah.
You know, even the Phil Foden kind of challenge on Mateta for the penalty was a lash out trying to clear the ball. Yeah. They felt a little nervy. Was it? I think you said, didn't you, in the studio, like at 2-1, like, well, this isn't done.
No.
You know, against Crystal Palace, where normally, you know, they go on and take control of the game. I mean, it's crazy to me. And there was something a little different in the setup with Rico Lewis starting in midfield alongside Rodri. But no, nothing in that lineup would make you think that they couldn't brush aside, really, some ways, Palace team that have been depleted. And, you know, and Roy Hodgson's been saying some strange things about his time there, probably coming to an end. Just a thought on Crystal Palace, Tim, and Roy Hodgson. And it's obviously a good result for them. My kind of thought on Palace right now is, and I understand the pressure from the fans that might be saying, well, you know, we've been in the Premier League for a while now, but we're seeing the likes of Brentford, Fulham, of course, Brighton and others kind of, you know, Bournemouth are ahead of them now as well on the table, that are progressing more than Palace. Do you think that Roy Hodgson's kind of getting a bit of a stick because other managers done a good job at other clubs?
Sure.
Not that he's changed at all, but is it fair or should Palace, should they expect more of the fans, I guess?
Well, I think it's fair. I do. I think Roy Hodgson has been a fantastic manager for many years. He has a certain style, somewhat old school style because of the way that the game has evolved.
Yeah, it's changed.
And so, you do see clubs who are less established shooting up the table. But again, when you talk about their recruitment and you talk about the managers they bring in, there is a new style of football that's being played. It's the way that the new managers are coaching. They tried, you know, with Patrick Vieira, they brought him in to bring a different way.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily work out towards the end, brought Roy Hodgson back. If they want to crack on and get up the table consistently, they're going to have to bring in an innovative young manager who plays in the vein of your Eddie Howes and De Zerbis and Postecoglou and Unai Emery. These are this is a style thing. When I look at Palace, they're 15th. I always see Palace as a 12 to 14th place type of club. That's where they're going to finish. If they have a really cracking year, they might be in the top of the table somewhere. But, like, ultimately, that's where they belong. That's who they are until that changes.
Yeah. I think the thing to add as well on this result is the players they've got out, Tim. And, you know, that's why so many people fancied Man City. I mean, Sam Johnson, the goalkeeper, was out. Odson Edouard, the top goal scorer, the striker, is out. Jefferson Lerma, midfield player. Henderson was actually fit and actually did start the game. Dean Henderson, goalkeeper. I want to just get a quick shout on you in a minute on him. Eberechi Eze came off the bench and Decore's out with a snapped Achilles tendon. Mm. So they've got injury issues. Just on the goalkeeper situation, you know, it's always good to get a take on that, Tim, a little bit when we have this. Sam Johnson's injured. Mm-hmm. And Dean Henderson's been a bit of a story.
Yeah.
Man United, he was expected to take over from De Gea.
Sure.
Maybe is he a little bit outspoken, Tim? Mm-hmm. He's chopped around a little bit. I think you quite like him, don't you, as a goalkeeper?
Yeah, I don't think he's a little bit outspoken. I think he's a lot outspoken, yeah. And he really likes himself. He's a big character, big goalkeeper. Yeah, I like him. It didn't quite happen for him at Manchester United, and that's okay, and he thought he would get a shot. And look, he thought he was better than clearly the scouts thought he would be. That's no problem. He went on loan a couple times, done really well on loan, and this is an opportunity to take the number one shirt, make it his, and really establish himself at a good Premier League football club. And if he does that, yeah, I do think Dean Henderson is a good goalkeeper.
Do you want to follow up a little bit there, right? Just a little goalkeeper angle here. We moved on from Man United, but Andre Onana said some things about don't worry about me. I'm going to be okay at this club. I've been world class at my last club. In general, give us a little. I know you're very different, but on that range of being humble to being confident. I want your thoughts on what you think the best take is. But ultimately, people are different, Tim. But does it favour a mental kind of personality to be successful, or is it okay to be brash or super humble?
I think it's whatever works, Musty. When you look at goalkeepers, particularly top level goalkeepers, with Onana, he had to come out and say everything was going to be okay. So that was kind of a red flag for me. Like, if you're having to defend yourself.
Then, he says it in a flippant way, don't worry about me.
And even today we saw a couple of Cruyff turns that went his way. He dropped a few balls. That has obviously crept into his game. I don't disagree that in the past he's been world class at other clubs he's been at, but right now he's not. It's good every now and again you have to fight your corner, and if you feel like your name is being talked about wrongly, do you come out and back yourself?
Of course, you should.
There's no problem. Yeah. And I think goalkeepers do that in a certain way. The problem is that those quotes will be kept and put on a hanger because they're going to come out again if things don't go great. So, as a goalkeeper, you have to be singularly focused. You have to be tough-minded, real thick skin. And he clearly has that because today we saw some smiles, and he doesn't really flinch when he drops the ball or makes mistakes, so good on him. Now, he has a manager that currently is backing him, which is brilliant. I can assure you that doesn't last terribly long if those mistakes continue to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, a Foxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
All right, next game. Again, we're on to the top of the end of the Premier League table, and we go to Arsenal and the Emirates. I really enjoyed the game. Arsenal won it 2-0. Goals from Jesus in the 53rd and Kai Havertz. Mm-hmm. Kai Havertz, another goal from the midfield position, the position that really his manager wanted him to play, the left side of that midfield three, if you like. I think of what we've seen, Tim, I feel like Arsenal are top of the table right now by a point, clear of Liverpool. I think they look like the best team right now, Tim. Yeah. I thought this game against Brighton was a really good example of a team that are pretty grooved with the ball, without the ball, organised, together, compact. I think they look really good.
They're currently, if you look at Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Manchester City, Arsenal are currently the best team and the most consistent team. We just talked about Liverpool. You know, Aston Villa, are they as consistent as Arsenal? Yes, they are.
At the moment, yeah.
Are they as talented? No. Arsenal also have this factor from last year, right? So they stumbled right at the last time of asking. And so all the questions were for me and most people, are those lessons learned or is that going to happen again? Like, how strong are they mentally? And they're showing so far that they've learned those lessons from last year about being resilient and seeing out results. And so I like the look of Arsenal. And up until this point, until proven otherwise, they certainly have seemed to learn those lessons.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it. And what I try to see from champion teams, Tim, is to win games comfortably, sometimes win games easily. This probably isn't in that category. Brighton can be a very awkward opponent, whether they play, and they can have periods where they keep the ball and they annoy you, frustrate the home fans and stuff. And there was periods, I thought, second half of Brighton. But other than that, there was no drama. There was a lot of composure. There was a feel-good factor moments. I thought Jesus, and I think we feel the same way about Jesus, where we're like, we want to think he's the number nine that can deliver them a title, help deliver them a title. Mm-hmm. But there's moments in the game, I think I said it to you, to be fair, just before he scored, I'm like, is this one of those games for Jesus where we don't really see him much?
Yeah.
What do you think? Anything different on Jesus, Tim? And is there enough goals from other areas that if he doesn't get his 15 goals, that they still can do it?
Well, the worry for me when Arteta brought Jesus into Arsenal was, Pep brought him in as a number nine. It didn't work out for him at City. So he moved him to the wing. He was really good on the wing in terms of his pressing, his energy, his crossing. So I like that. And then Arteta brings him in as a number nine. And I go, ooh, I think they've already done this experiment at City. He doesn't really work there. And he worked there last year. He did. He got the goals. He was good in good form and good rhythm. Then he got injured and he hasn't hit the ground running since he came back. My worry for Arsenal is normally the load is shared around the goal scoring load by other players, by Odegaard, by Martinelli, by Saka. Some of their numbers are down. Not Saka's numbers, but like
good. Yeah.
Some of their numbers are down. So
Martinelli's got two. Havertz has now got four.
Yeah.
Odegaard's got four.
Rice has chipped in with three. Yeah. You know, so if the balance is, the scoring is balanced, my worry is some of the other numbers of the guys around him are down, which worries me a little bit. Like if those guys have average years and Jesus has a subpar year, I'm struggling to see a Premier League champion who's number nine doesn't score 10 plus goals, you know, and that worries me.
Yeah, I went back some numbers a few years ago on that. There's not many scored a certain number, but there are a few examples. Mm-hmm. He stepped up with the header at the back post. Kai Havertz is an interesting one, Tim. I want to get a bit more from you on him. We know he's been put around the side a little bit. Mm-hmm. We know he's not going to be one of those guys who's going to be on the ball all the time, bright, linking things, playing through balls and looking $1 million. But maybe his role in this team is going to be, from the left side in midfield, getting forward. When he scored his goal, he's kind of like almost in the striker position.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's going to do. Maybe he's going to hang out in and around Gabriel Jesus, and between them, Tim, they can get the goals from the central areas. I can't remember your take on him initially, of whether that was a good idea or whether you think it could still be a masterstroke.
I don't think he's a world beater by any stretch of the imagination. I think if the rhythm is right, he fits into that midfield. I think the way Mikel Arteta has man-managed him has been brilliant. Brought him out of the side a little bit, taken him out of the spotlight, dipped him back in, brought him off today to a standing ovation. So he's being clever with him. Look, if he can play the Arsenal way, good football, which we know he can do. He likes to run, likes to stay away from defenders, doesn't want the contact. He can play good football. If he can do that in this team, get his goals, again, share the goal scoring like everybody else does, I think he's really onto something, and he could be a good player for this team. So initially, didn't love the signing, very similar to Jesus, but I have to have faith in Arsenal and in terms of Mikel Arteta. He very rarely gets signings wrong. And so you think, okay, I don't see it, but I also didn't really see Jesus either, and it seemed to work initially.
No, that's right. It's fair play. And if it does happen, then he helps him win a title, then absolutely well done. Because like you, I thought, wow, that's a lot of money for a guy that struggled. Last thing on Arsenal, and you've already touched it, Tim, a little bit. I don't think, and me and Earl have talked about this, we ain't going to know about Arsenal until the end. About learning the lessons. Because they did this before, and they scored late goals, and the euphoria was there, and people like us started saying, well, this something special's happening, this is going to be their year, and then what happened. William Saliba is brilliant. Is there a better centre-back in the Premier League? There's maybe a few that's close to him, of course, with Van Dijk's, and I particularly like Van der Ven at Spurs, who's injured right now, but, of course, he was missing in the run-in. But in terms of, it's hard to recognise something in the team now that you think is going to benefit them in the end, or can you? Can you see I tell you, just thinking about Declan Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a player right away that has to help in that running.
Well, I think the spine. Saliba was a big deal for me. It was a big deal because the drop off from Saliba to who they went with in the end, and in terms of that back four having continuity, you can see the back four essentially picks itself. Certainly with the two center backs and the goalkeeper, they're solid as a rock defensively. They're going to need that as the season goes on, particularly down the stretch. And then Rice, he plugs holes, he gets forward, he gets goals. Like, those are two major factors for me that I think this Arsenal team is better.
Yeah. Quick one on Raya. We said a lot about Raya. Do you think he's going to get better, Tim? Are we seeing the best David Raya, or is there more to come?
I think he is exactly what he is. He's an aggressive goalkeeper at his near post. He's going to, very much like Fabian Barthez back in the Manchester United days, he's going to come for crosses and miss a few and, not really have too much care and go at it again. He looks a little bit low on confidence at times with the shot stopping. Mm-hmm. He was brought in to play the type of football that Mikel Arteta wants to play, that De Zerbi wants to play, out of the back with their feet. So, listen, that's the goalkeeper that he wants. And quite honestly, he's had 11 goals against in 12 games. I mean, the numbers are actually quite good. Mm. It's just every now and again he looks a little shaky. I think he's the goalkeeper that we're seeing.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, just final thought. I went out to the team sheet today, Tim. I looked at the bench. There's some pretty good names on the bench as well for Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, I know they've got a few people out, really important people out right now, Thomas Partey and Tomiyasu and Bier and, of course, Timber. I think it's going to be really good when he's fit again because he looked good in pre-season. You know, he's still got Smith Rowe and Ketcher on the bench, Suarez, Trossard, Nelson. You know, it's looking good for us. Mm.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
All right, next one on our little list here. We're into Nottingham Forest against Tottenham. It was Forest 0, Tottenham 2. Goals from Richarlison, Kulusevski. We did see a red card for Heath Basuma later on, Tim, where, you know, you just see him put his head in his hands, frustration of a challenge that, I mean, do you, in your experience playing with people like that, right?
Yeah.
And he's not a young player anymore, Heath Basuma. Can he learn from that? And can we not see that again from him? Because we've seen a few times now where emotions get a little bit to him, and we all know the type. And, you know, I think I was pretty good at that. There was a lot of things I wasn't very good at, but I was pretty good in terms of temperament, right?
Yeah.
And controlling my emotions. This happened a few times now with some of the Spurs players. You know, all about Romero, the most aggressive player in the Premier League for me. Can this stop at Tottenham now? Can Ange get to grips with this discipline thing? They don't want anything to derail them that's kind of should be easy fixable. Yeah.
Well, I think we're not going to eradicate it, but certain players need to get it out of their game. You know, when Yves Bissouma, there's no place in the game to go strongly and recklessly into a challenge where the ball's on the floor. It's different if the ball's bouncing, but the ball's on the floor and you go right under the guy's knee with your studs. It's just, you know, he on Yates, it's uncalled for, but the discipline part of it, Musty, we saw it with Tottenham's North London rival, Arsenal. They had a horrific disciplinary record under Mikel Arteta. And I was one to say, look, he's a former teammate of mine, Arteta, but I said, listen, this begins and ends with the manager. you tell your players undoubtedly everyone stays on the pitch. If not, 2 weeks' wages, I'm going to fine you. Yeah. Whatever, you're hurting the team. So it begins and ends with the manager. And Postecoglou,
he figured it out, to be fair. Arsenal,
yeah.
Got back.
Oh, figured out. Fantastic. And so when I look at Postecoglou, he doesn't bat an eye in the face of adversity. Mm-hmm. And he lets his players, he gives them free will to press and to make mistakes. That's all fine and well. At a certain point, you have to just bring everything back in, settle everyone down and say, listen, this is, as you mentioned, this is going to hurt us in the long run. We have to get our discipline under control.
Mm. But it's a good win.
Yeah, great win.
It's a great win. And, you know, I think our listeners and viewers know what I feel about Spurs and how fun it is to watch them play. And it's like nothing we've ever seen before in terms of what they do. Of course, with the fullbacks and being as fluid as I think you can be as a football team right now. And I'm going to chuck in my, you know, our little underappreciated. Yeah. We chuck in every weekend, Tim. And I don't know, I thought there's quite a few contenders this weekend. This one came early, of course, it was a Friday night game. But Dejan Kulusevski, you know, again, he's a player that's under the radar a little bit. Mm-hmm. Mostly plays on the right-hand side wide. Swedish midfield player, good age, good physicality, brought him in, good acquisition. With that, and Madison being out injured, he's come inside and played really nicely as a number 10. And he can do a little bit of either now, sometimes wide, sometimes a number 10 in a central position. Brilliant, brilliant ball in where he spins in with that left foot for the Richarlison's first header. Scores a second goal as well. And I just think he's one of them that we all give a lot of credit to, a lot of these Spurs players and the Madisons and the, and everybody else, Hyun-Min Son, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he's just a blimmin' good player, works hard. He's aggressive enough. I like the way he speaks afterwards. We listened to an interview with him afterwards. And the quality he's got in attacking areas is gold. And Richarlison's loving that. And if he gets balls like that every week, Tim, he's going to be scoring a lot more goals. So I just want to give a shout out to Kulusevski and his impact to Tottenham. Yeah, you like him?
He's been for me. And I think the underappreciated part comes when he first came on loan, he was just lights out, wasn't he? He was fantastic. You think, wow, this guy's direct. He's sharp. He comes inside the left foot. Came a little bit off the boil last year, I think.
Did.
And that's why when you start to see the best of him, you think, wow,
that's
a special, special left-footed player. You got a lot of talent, a lot to give.
Mm. Absolutely. Just a quick line on Nottingham Forest. I know there's Steve Cooper is under pressure and stuff. And where are they right now, Tim? Look at our table. And, fourth bottom.
Yep.
Fourth bottom now. So just one spot from Luton Town. They have got a five-point gap. Luton will probably, we don't know for sure yet. We'll get into that game a little later. Have a game to play, possibly. Mm-hmm. Steve Cooper, do you think, I think that you would keep him on, but probably more pertinent is the owner at that club, who seems erratic, hasn't done anything too erratic in terms of managers, but is he going to do anything crazy the next couple of weeks?
Well, my line on Forrest is this. It seems like every time they get a good result, he's not under pressure, and every time they get a bad result, he is.
Way.
It's just not a great place to be. Mm. What I would say is, look, in any ownership group, when you spend the money, and they have spent the money, whether it's wisely or not, is not in question. You have the right to say my team should be in the top five or top 10 or whatever his expectations are, right? Because you're the owner. From my end, Steve Cooper, he's done a very good job with what he's had. He's been asked to manage 30 some odd new players. Tried to gel that team together. The fact of the matter is, when you look at why you'd sack a manager. Fans aren't behind you. Well, guess what? Fans are strongly behind him.
Yeah.
You've lost the dressing room. Guess what? He hasn't lost the dressing room. And thirdly, he's a really good manager. He really is. And so keep him on. Keep it steady. Allow yourself to continue to stay in the Premier League and climb the table incrementally. It doesn't happen overnight. And even though the owner wants it, it doesn't.
Absolutely right. Totally agree with that. Now, that's kind of the biggest clubs, Tim, that we've just addressed right there. Now, we're going to go and mention these other clubs and the other games that went on. And I have got to start at Bournemouth with what we saw on the field there. The game was abandoned around the hour mark. It was 1-1 at the time. Bournemouth won, Luton Town 1. Of course, the game was dominated by the very, very shocking kind of incident that happened there. Tom Lockyer collapsed on the pitch in the 59th minute, suffered a cardiac arrest. According to a club statement, but was responsive by the time he was stretched off the field. And I think he's undergoing scans and tests. And I think the club, Luton Town, will keep everybody informed of his progress. Now, of course, we're not qualified to speculate how these are linked from, of course, he did collapse with a heart issue in the playoff final and had surgery on his heart and was given the all clear to play again, Tim. first off, like we're in the studio, and then you know you see something, we can see something's happening. It's horrible, isn't it? I mean, how horrible is it to and then like we couldn't see from the shot who was down. We knew something very serious has happened. I immediately thinking, oh no, is it Lockyer? You know, is a centre back that went down before. Thank goodness he's okay at the moment. But wow, what a difficult hour or so that was for us, wasn't it?
Well, I think it puts football in perspective, because there are very few things ever on a football pitch that send chills down my spine, and that did. You know, you're in the studio and you're looking at it, you're thinking, oh gosh, you know, they've cut away, you don't see it, you think it's Lockyer, and if it is, it's happened, you know, something similar has happened before, that he's ended up down on the pitch with no contact, and you think, this is beyond serious. And so your mind then starts to go away from football into him and his health and his family. And so difficult moments and scary moments in the world of football. And thankfully, he got the medical treatment he needed straight away, got to the hospital, seems to be in stable condition. And you just hope for the best for him right now. Forget football. Hope the best for he and his family. And that's all that should concern anybody in the football
absolutely
world.
Absolutely right. I mean, the club stated that he remains in hospital before the next steps to his recovery are determined. So, you know, we're not sure where to go, where it goes from here, or even where the game happens, actually. I know there's different rules about how long a game is played before it's a legal scoreline. I think they're trying to figure that out with the Premier League right now. It was abandoned. The players and the staff at Luton Town felt they couldn't continue given what happened to their captain. And we'll report when we can. Hopefully he's okay and we go that forward. But, very difficult moment for everybody concerned. But let's, of course, hope that he's going to make a full and best recovery. Yeah. Other games, Tim, that we can touch on, just from the other ones from the weekend. We did see your former club win again at Burnley. A big story with Sean Dyche going back there, Tim. Back to Burnley, did a great job there for almost 10 years. He's really doing a great job at Everton right now. Onana scored on 19th minute. Keane on 26th and 25th. Michael Keane scored on 25th minute. Are you surprised at how well it's going this year, given those 10 points and given, you know, the start of the season, they had a bad start and there wasn't a lot done in the market. I thought we picked up some really good players, particularly Jack Harris on the right-hand side. Surprised you how well he's doing at the club?
Big surprise. Not because I don't believe in him as a manager. I actually think he's a great fit for Everton Football
really
Club. We were at Goodison the last day of last season with the threat of relegation. And I saw that team and I thought, they don't get much better. They'll be in the same spot next year. And the reason I give so much credit to Sean Dyche is because he's brought in a Jack Harrison. He's taken Doucouré and he's basically said, look, you are either a double pivot or a holding number six. I'm going to put you in the hole above the midfield, underneath Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
He's repaid him
with a club-high six goals. Yeah. And so when you look at that's a managerial decision. He's empowering these players to be better. Defensively, they've gotten better.
Branthwaite's been a big story, too.
But again, don't forget, Branthwaite's been at the club, right? So like for him to have the vision and say, no, this is the center half
now,
that
now
I
he's
need.
Ready. Yeah.
He's ready. So he's made some big decisions that have gone and you know, four wins and four clean sheets is in the Premier League. One heck of a feat.
Oh, he's got the points back. He's got the points back.
Which you kind of always knew with the way that they were going, Musty. They took the 10-point deduction. They got dropped into the bottom three. And when you looked at it, you thought, Everton's a better team than the teams that are in the bottom three or four. So
and he's they're not detached.
They detached. And it was so early on in the season that you think they've got a long way to go till May. So they're flying.
It's remarkable. What are they on now? They're on 16 points. It's 7 points clear of those bottom three right now.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, wow. So, tremendous. Really, really good story. And, you know, Burnley, a quick line on Burnley, Tim. And we spoke to Vincent Cobbett, by the way. And I think he speaks really well. And he thinks his team is improving. It was interesting we didn't get to talk too much about it, really, Tim. But I was fascinated because I did ask him about his philosophy. And maybe it wasn't a great question from his point of view, because people question the way he does things now that in the Premier League and struggling. And he said that he doesn't like the word philosophy or style. And the best thing I took away from that phone call is when he said, I coach what I know. And what he knows is Man City, really, and Pep's style, and that playing out. And that worked great in the Championship, and it's difficult right now. Do you see him changing, I try not to say philosophy, his approach with the team, or is he going to stick with it? And is he think he's got plenty of times to go, games to go in the season, that he can get enough points to stay in the division?
I agree with what I don't agree with is you know, every manager has a philosophy. You have to accept the fact that like you coach in a certain way, and that ends up becoming your philosophy, your way of doing things. When I think about top level football, it's about tactics, of course. It's about mindset, of course. But ultimately, it's about quality, right? Keeping players healthy, and then if you have enough healthy players and there's enough quality, I think you'd agree that this Burnley team doesn't have a ton of quality.
Right. No.
Okay, and when you're asking players, if you don't have a lot of quality, what we've seen down the years is roll your sleeves up, everybody get tucked in off each other's shoulders. We're going to launch the ball long, and we're going to march up the pitch, and we're going to stay solid. If you don't have a ton of quality, now you're asking players to take risks in dangerous areas of the pitch and the ball turns over and you don't have enough players who can drop a shoulder and beat players one-on-one and create a numbers advantage. Football is all about creating a numbers advantage in every area of the pitch. Then you're going to struggle a little bit, and you can't necessarily continue to persevere and keep banging your head against the wall with a certain style if it's not working. And clearly, let's face it, whether the line is we've performed well and we've been in games, that's fine, but they haven't won those games, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, they've got 8 points. Yeah. They've got 8 points. They've conceded 36 goals. Mm-hmm. I also think, Tim, like when you attempt that style of playing out, and if you haven't got the quality, then you're vulnerable to be successful playing out. Players have to spread out, and when those passes go astray or get turned over. Players are a long way of helping defensively, and they concede a lot of goals, and I think that's what we're seeing happening right now. But again, wonderful bloke. I hope they stick with him. Mm. Whatever happens for me, Tim.
Definitely.
He did such a good job last year. And to be fair, he's had to build a new team with his loan, which is it's a podcast for another day, by the way. I will chuck it in quick because I think it's important. He said on the phone call, to keep the players we had on loan last year would have cost us £70 million. Now, if I'm Middlesbrough or a lot of teams in the Championship, how did they get to have a team of 70 million worth of talent on loan to get them in the league? Something right there.
That's a different
conversation. But they had that amount of talent to help them get up. They can't afford to keep them, but they're in the Premier League.
So now they have to rebuild.
So that's been difficult. Anyway, rolling forward onto other games. Chelsea, Tim, 2, Sheffield United, 0. Cole Palmer, who, again, I'm not sure whether we've had him as our underappreciated. He looks like a quality acquisition. Mm-hmm. And I think when you make so many signings of so much young potential, you're hoping that some of them are going to look really, really great. Cole Palmer looks good, doesn't he? Got the first goal. Nicholas Jackson scored the second goal. I mean, I'm sure we're not convinced that Chelsea are going to do great things on the back of here, but I mean, was that the minimum a victory against Sheffield United?
And Nicholas Jackson needed a goal as well, just because he's been a little bit misfiring. Yeah, I mean, against Sheffield United, they have a big week coming up, and they had to get that result because, quite frankly, their results have been up and down. Chelsea, they've won one, lost
tenth
one.
Right now,
yeah, 10th. It's just kind of exactly where their results would say they are. The one thing I like about Cole Palmer is you don't oftentimes see this where a young superstar starlet from a big club like Man City doesn't get his chance at that big club. Very rarely does another big club take a chance on him because he's a young player, right? He almost gets discarded. But Chelsea took a chance on him. And what I like about this kid is he's brash.
You talked about quality.
Yeah.
He's got quality.
He's got quality. And you know what? I remember his first or second game, there's a penalty, and he took the ball. I thought, who does this kid think he is to take the ball? And I thought, or Enzo, maybe it was, something. Yeah. I just thought, that's showing me something. That's really showing. He's sticking a flag in the ground. He's saying, this is who I am. And his performances and his goal scoring has really shown up. And I like him.
Mm. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 2. A story of the season, mate, is Aston Villa, third place right now in the Premier League, just 1 point behind leaders Arsenal. Same points as Liverpool, I believe, after 17 games. Aston Villa. I mean, who doesn't love this story, Tim? What was it? A couple of years ago, they were in relegation area and Steven Gerrard, like, wow. And all of a sudden, this guy comes in and transforms the team with not too much spent, really. Yeah. I mean, we've probably gone over this a few times and the storylines are probably similar. Anything you want to add to Villa's story? I mean, they were behind in the game. There were a little bit of drama there and red cards and Kamara got sent off late, didn't he, I believe?
Yeah.
Ben Mee got sent off for a terrible challenge as well. Ollie Watkins gets involved with a fan, I think, scores and then points him out. I mean, there was all sorts of stuff going on. But the bottom line is Villa won again.
Correct. Correct. And they went behind in the game.
Yeah.
Right? So you start to look at, like, what can't Villa do? Mm. I mean, they seem to be able to do everything. So well coached, Unai Emery. I'm so glad he's doing great. He got a bad rap at Arsenal when he was in the Premier League last time.
Yeah.
We know from his pedigree he's a fantastic manager.
Yeah. That was a difficult Arsenal squad.
Yeah, difficult.
And after Wenger.
And following Wenger. Yeah. So we know he's a quality manager. His style speaks for itself, and the players have bought in. They've adapted. My only worry, they do have quality, but my only worry is, like, when I look at the quality that the other teams in the top four have, like, can they sustain it? But guess what?
No.
They've answered every single question so far this season.
Yeah. Nkunku is a player that could come back. Sorry, Villa, but am I going jumping ahead? Are we on Palace now?
No, Villa.
Villa. We've already done Chelsea. Crikey, yes. My head's all over the place here. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
No, they have answered every question. They're in a great spot right now. And by the way, you look at their bench. Not a bad bench.
Mm-mm.
Not a bad bench as well, so... Really good story. A couple of games left, I believe I've got this right. Games of Newcastle and West Ham. Let's start with Newcastle United, 3-0. Lewis Miley, I think the youngest goal scorer for Newcastle United on 57. Almiron gets a goal. Dan Burn gets a goal. Raul Jimenez.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story here. The game changed on his red card on 22nd minutes. Yeah. What was your take on the Raul Jimenez red card? On the field was a yellow card.
Yeah.
It's a video one where it didn't look good.
Mm.
Where are we with that, Tim?
It's what you're saying is the game, what VAR is doing is actually re-refereeing the game, and that's a problem. Look, Raul Jimenez, there was a bouncing ball. Longstaff looks like he's going to go lob the pass. So Raul Jimenez jumps. He's a good athlete. He jumps up. The pass ends up going on the ground. He just gets it wrong. It's clumsy, and it literally his backside hits Longstaff in the shoulder or chin, and he goes down. Like, There's, you said it in studio, there's not a referee in the world on field who gives that a red card. It's just not a red card offense.
Yeah.
You know,
but when video looks at it again, Tim, and they see his head shoving back,
I know.
Does kind of look like he's endangering the safety. So from us, from our point of view, it's like, well, yeah, I suppose so, but what, you know, who's refereeing the games? Like, is it the guy on the field that's got a good sense of it?
Right.
Or... I mean, there's more and more now, Tim. There's more and more where the referee's there, he sees a challenge, and like, I think he caught him there. That wasn't a very good challenge. There's a yellow. And then the slow motion video, different angles. Well, actually, there, his studs are up. He's a little bit high. He's like, wow, that's a video.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem, Musty. Because of the sanctions, because of the punishment towards these referees, because of all the eyes that are getting put on the referee, wouldn't you have loved to see the referee go over to the screen and go, you know what?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I see what you're saying, but guess what?
I'd love to see it.
His backside hit him in the face. He jumped. It was clumsy. He didn't mean it. I saw the intent. Guess what? I'm sticking with the yellow card, and we're playing on.
Yeah, it was a soft. It was his backside that his face wasn't his hip.
And you'd love to see that, but guess what? The re-referee in the game, and it's just like it's too much.
Yeah, it absolutely is too much there. And but that really made a difference then in Newcastle. I mean, we'll see how they go now. A really good run in the Champions League, but of course that's come to an end now. I'm sure they can focus on the and the Premier League now, Tim.
Yeah.
I still really like what they do. Where are they? Let's have a look at the league table right now. Newcastle United on 29 points. So we're looking at fourth place, which is Man City on 34. Mm-hmm. So it's only 5 points
away. Newcastle and Man City are going to, when they get all their injuries back, and they get both of those teams are going to kick on. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Newcastle is well coached. They're well drilled. Brilliant fan base.
Back now.
They're still on the right path. When they get all their players fit, they're going to hit the ground running, and they're going to climb the table.
Yeah. All right, last game of the weekend, Tim, we quickly have a look at here. It's West Ham. West Ham United, your old gaffer, David Moyes.
Yeah.
Still doing it, mate. He's still doing his thing. And they sit in eighth place right now. I think the difference is now they've got some players, some signings that are really ready to play.
Yep.
Last year it was difficult trying to go from a new kind of bunch of players that Moyes was never really fully convinced of, I guess, afterwards. But they win this game 3-0. A couple of goals from a guy I think you want to talk about. Yep. And Jared Bowen scored as well. But, I mean... They're a funny team, West Ham, Tim, aren't they? Because one week they can look poor and a bit stodgy and a bit and then another week they can look blooming tremendous with Paquetá, who is, I mean, I'm a massive fan of his, and I always think about him when he has a game like this for underappreciated. I'm sure I've probably had him before. I think he's a top four player. I think he's a Champions League footballer.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucas Paquetá, he's on the Brazil team, a very important part of the national team for Brazil. They looked good today, didn't they?
They did. And you have to. I spent a lot of years with David Moyes, and you just think about his career trajectory after he left Everton, and what an amazing job he's doing at West Ham, continually in Europe, in the Europa League, in Europa Conference League, winning that, topping their group again. His team travels well in Europe, and you just look at the way. Yeah, every now and again they look a bit stodgy because the fact of the matter is they don't have a million match winners on the field. They're well drilled. That you, as you said, Paquetá's special.
And his coaching style is I don't want to say defense first, but it's very solid.
Oh yeah, it's safe.
He's got a safe, solid foundation.
Yeah. And I want to talk about my underappreciated player of the weekend. It's Mohamed Kudus, and the reason I say it's him is because having spent so many years with David Moyes, he is a David Moyes type of player. My team needs to be safe. They need to be well drilled. They need to be good on set pieces. They need to be hard to beat. And I need one player who I can count on to win me matches. Right? It's always
to get
been
on the end of
get on the end of things,
midfield or whatever.
Make something happen by himself or within the team. And Mohamed Kudus has come in and he's been lights out for this team, both in Europe and in the Premier League. And I love what he's doing because I can tell you now, David Moyes is kicking his feet up, smiling, going, right, now that's my centerpiece. That was my missing piece because I brought in Ward-Prowse. He's been fantastic. Yeah. You know he loves Bowen, whether in the nine or wide. Paquetá, special player. But if Mohamed Kudus is going to consistently get me going, because you also have to remember, David Moyes hasn't had thousands of success with number nines, with bringing in a top world class number nines. His best players have always been wingers or midfielders who get into the box late, and that's what Mohamed Kudus is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really good point. Good shout, by the way. I mean, yeah. I think he's been cautious bringing him into the starting lineup. I think we saw him and we've seen him in international games and like, wow, this guy can play.
Yeah.
And we wanted to see more of him, but I think David Moyes has been very careful and we're seeing it now and he's getting the benefits of being careful. I just think he's powerful.
Yeah.
He looks strong. The first goal today, he comes inside and throws that left foot at it and that whips quickly along the grass into the back of net. I think it's a good shout. Yeah. I think he is one to watch for the future as well.
Definitely.
And that wraps us up. That wraps up our weekend again in the Premier League. It sees Arsenal at the very, very top. Sheffield United at the very bottom. We are going to be crazy now, mate. I know me and you are in that studio for the next few days. I'm back in Thursday, Friday. I think you're at the weekend. And then we're into Boxing Day, 27, 28, so on and so forth. But thanks so much, mate, for coming in. Earl's taking a few days off. Always fun to catch up and get your thoughts on all things Premier League. So thank you very, very much. And just remind everybody that the next episode is on Saturday, this upcoming weekend, Saturday the 23rd. And we'll be recapping Game Week 18. In the Premier League, which, of course, the big game there is Liverpool versus Arsenal. So until then, thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you soon.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door!
Winning!
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.